Thank you very much. Let's take our Bibles with us, please. Go back to Joshua chapter 17. Here we go, Joshua chapter 17. All right, thank you very much. You may be seated. Good to see you this morning. We welcome you back to the spring semester. Joshua 17. Here we go, Joshua 17. Let's look at it together. We've already read it together as a group, and I thank you very much for your attention. I love it when young people or anyone, God's people, read the Bible with a oomph in their voice. It is the greatest book. It's not even comparison to others. And when you read your Bible, you should never read it with boredom or a little slow drag in your voice. You should read it with emphasis and admiration and adoration for the one who gave it to us. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? I hope you'll love your Bible. I hope you'll read your Bible. I hope you'll study your Bible. You read your newspaper. You read the magazine, but study your Bible. I hope that you'll meditate on it. Think about it throughout the day when you're on that forklift at the work, or you are doing some other things as you're driving, going places. Meditate upon the Word of God. God wants to speak to you, and He is talking. His Spirit is talking, but you and I need to be sensitive, and a love for the Word of God will enhance that. And we are so honored that God brought you back for this semester. I'm looking forward to it very, very much, and lots of great things that I think the Lord has in store for us. Some of you will be student teaching. This will be one of the few chapels you'll come to this year because you'll be going off to either City Baptist or Hammond Baptist student teaching in those locations. We congratulate you. And, of course, we had numbers of young people who finished their last semester, and they were here. But now they are done and finished and getting ready to come back here in April to graduate. But I appreciate your participation, appreciate your spirit and your heart for the Lord in this ministry. I love you, and we want the Lord to use you in a special way. One of the reasons I brought this passage of Scripture to, I'm going to go through Proverbs chapter 18 a little bit farther this semester and other messages. But today, I wanted to start in a place of the Bible where there was a conundrum going on here. Joshua was the captain and of God's people, and he'd been given the job to bring the people of God into the promised land. They were all slaves in Egypt 40 years prior to that, and God wanted them to go right on in, and of course they balked, and the 12 spies came back, and 10 were bad and 2 were good, and they said we can't go in there. The giants are too big and lots of challenges. And the Lord said, "All right, fine. You guys can all die in the wilderness." And they would all miss what God wanted for them to have in the Canaan land, and in the promised land of God's choosing. But now 40 years has gone by since that time at Kadesh Barnea, and 40 years have come and gone, and all the old folks have passed away except for 2 families, and that would be Joshua and Caleb. They were able to live. They're the oldest 2 people, 80 years old at the time that they get ready to go into Canaan land. Joshua is in charge of the country. Caleb is a fiery old fellow that's excited about what God has given him. He was one of the spies, so he saw what he was going to enjoy. He just had to put it on pause for 40 years. And so they came. Moses dies. God buries Moses, and now Joshua is in charge. And if you read Joshua chapter 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture to us, where the Bible, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage over and over again. That's where he gives them, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth. That means you should talk about the Bible. When's the last time you talked about the Bible? When's the last time you said to your roommate, or you said to the guy you're driving to work with, or someone you're doing something, tell me what God shared with you in the Bible? That ought to be just as normal as breathing for God's people. For us to say, you know, let's talk about what God's doing in our hearts. And what's a verse of Scripture that means something to you? He said, I want this book of the law not to depart out of your mouth. But I said, I want you to meditate. I want you to talk about it. I want you to think about it day and night, that you can observe to do all that is written therein. Then you'll have your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So read it, think about it, talk about it, and certainly do whatever God tells you the Bible to do. You ought to do it, because then you can have prosperity and success. God has placed success where His people who obey and meditate and talk about and obey the Scriptures. In the book of Second Timothy, chapter 3, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, mature, that he would be perfect, fully furnished to all good works. And in that passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us there's four reasons for the Bible. Number one, so we can know how to get to heaven from here. That from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. They're able to make you wise into what? If you're saved, salvation came to you because someone opened the Bible and shared with you the Scriptures. The first reason for the Bible is for the Scriptures. The second reason for the Bible is so you can be matured. You can be perfect and complete. And know, people, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. You got a sour attitude right now? It's going to be reflected by your attention to the Scriptures. If you're coming in less than favorable and you've got a bad attitude or a frustrated spirit, I would say that that can be challenged by a right relationship with the Word of God. And I will just tell you, I've had those days. I've had those days where I didn't feel good about anything or anybody. I wasn't really excited. Everybody else was excited, but I wasn't excited. And usually, it's because I didn't have the infusion of the Word of God. You didn't have a real relationship with the Bible. And some of you, you're Bible college students, and you need to develop in 2022 a real heartthrob for the Bible. You're excited about having this relationship and that relationship. Boy, you ought to get a heartthrob for what God has to say for you. Well, I remember years ago, I'd come home from work, and Linda would have somebody, my roommate or whatever, put a note on my pillow. Boy, I didn't just go to sleep. I was like, oh, what does it say? I want to know what she said about me and how wonderful I was and everything. And boy, I wanted to find out how she felt about it because she wrote it down. The truth of the matter is, God wrote it down, how he feels about him, how he feels about you, and what you and I can do together with God. He put it in the pages of the Word of God. We ought to read it. We ought to love it. We ought to encourage ourselves in the things of God. But he gave us the Scripture so that we can be servants, so that we can be saved, so that we can be successful. Profitable. He said that the all Scripture is given inspiration of God and is profitable, so you can be successful. Young people, I want you to be successful. Matter of fact, that's why I've shared this message with you today. Fast forward, it took 5 years for them, once they crossed over and fought with Jericho, it was 5 years of fighting. See, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is a successful Christian life. And God wants you to experience a successful Christian life. But it will not be done without a fight. Some of you think, okay, may I tell you what? There is a rest for the people of God, but it's not in this life. In this life, the Christian life is a battle. You're going to build and battle the rest of your ministry if you're going to do what God wants you to do. I'd like to tell you, boy, I had the joy to go to college here in 1985, finished in 89, and married Linda, and I started teaching school for 11 years, and then the Lord let me be a pastor, and have had the joy now to pastor almost for 22 years of my life. But I'm telling you, every day is a building and a battle. Every day there's a phone call. There's something I've got to work on. There's something that we have to overcome. There's a criticism that comes. There's challenges. There's new people that must be discipled. There's new people that need to hear the gospel of Christ. There are doors. Last night I spent a couple times knocking on doors and standing in on porches of folks in this community and talking to folks, some of which knew the Lord. Some of them were not saved yet and went by and saw them in their homes. And one thing I found out is, man, it's just a battle. And that's going to happen. Well, they got into Jericho and then the Ai, and then they had 8 other cities and areas that they were working to conquer. And it would take them 5 years of God's people following Joshua strategically and conquering. And now it had come time that the battle has been waged and most all the cities have been conquered and God has been glorified. And now they're saying, okay, now it's time. I'm going to start telling you where you're going to live, what sections you're going to have in the land of Israel. And of course, Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh, they before they crossed over the River Jordan, they said, we just want to stay over here. And there will always be a few people in God's work who do not want the hassle of going across the river, of going across things. And they'll just be content. There's just folks that they just want to get a good job and just take care of their stuff and go to church Sunday morning And they might or might not go Sunday night. There are always going to be people like that. And Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh are kind of like that. They're people that were saved. They're God's people, but they really did not want to get in it to win it. They just wanted to find a comfortable place for their cattle, for their stuff, and this one. And I want to encourage you, don't be Reuben and Gad in your life. If God is giving you this much light, decide, you know what, I'm going to do my best to get in it to win it. I'm going to please the Lord. I'm going to do wherever He wants me. I want to live where He wants me to live. Now it comes time, and they come to Joshua and say, Joshua, we're done with the battle. Where do I get to live? And he gave Dan his place, and Judah got a large portion in the bottom, and Simeon down in the south, and then Asher and Naphtali and all those, they got their places up there. And now he's divvied out five of the sections, and there's seven more still to do after the book of Joshua chapter 17. He's going to give out seven more plots, but he's given it to them. And the Bible tells us something about Joseph. Now, Joseph is not one of the tribes. He's got two of his boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, represent him. And the Lord definitely, if you look at the map of the Israelites, Manasseh has a large portion, both on one side of Jordan and on the other side of Jordan. Ephraim, not as much. But those are his boys, and God gives them a large portion of land there. And however, the boys of Joseph did not drive out the Canaanites, the demon-possessed inhabitants of the city. Now, most of them were driven out, but there was a section. There were some strongholds. There was some places where they didn't totally go for the jugular and send them out. And they just allowed them to continue to coexist with them in the land of God's promise. And as they got a little stronger, they said, you know what? They not only can live, if they're going to live here, they ought to at least pay taxes. And then they started taxing them and said, well, you know, if they're going to live here, might as well make some profit off of them. It has to be good for us to have something from their existence. And they started taxing them. Well, that was their story for Ephraim and then Manasseh. But then also the sons of Joseph came to Joshua and said, Joshua, we're looking at what you gave us, and it's not big enough for us. And we need more property. We need more property. We need, if we could give us a, we're a strong people, and we need more property. And he said, well, you guys are big people. That's true. Once you just, you got a whole hill. Now, it's got woods all over. It's got forest all over it. But, hey, you guys are strong people. He goes, yeah, but, man, there's some Canaanites, and they have chariots of iron, and they're giants. They're big people. And just give us some places that's already plowed off and already doesn't have the trees there. He said, no. He said, if you're all that in a bag of chips, if you're all that strong, then you go ahead and do the work to cut down the woods, and then you can have whatever you want from that. And you face those giants in that community, and you run them out. And he told them what to do in that situation. That's the story from the Scriptures. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11, the Bible said that the stories in the Old Testament are in samples or examples to us in this day, so we would know how to handle similar situations. So why did God put all the stories in the Bible? Why did He put David and Goliath? So when you would face a giant, you'd know what to do. Not depend upon your own ability, but trust in the Lord. Why did God put the story of Hannah wanting a little boy and couldn't have a baby and was mocked by her adversary? Why? Because some of you precious girls are going to go a few months and maybe years, and you would expect him by now to hold a baby. You'll need to know what to do when that happens. Whenever you find rejection, maybe your family or maybe a church member or maybe someone in the community begins to mistreat or reject you, you'll be able to go to the book of Genesis and see Joseph's story being rejected by his brothers and thrown into a pit. And you'll say, you know what, that happened before. Because there's no temptation or problem taking us, but such is common to man. God's faithful. And He's faithful to give us stories of other people. But with this particular thing, and so they come to Joshua and say, you know, we're big and we're strong and we need more property. He goes, look, you got the property, go to work and have some courage and take care of it. And you can have all that you need. I want to share with you a couple thoughts, I think, as we start a 2022 spring semester. And by the way, I'm just so glad you're here. But I want you to notice, first of all, I want you to be conscious of all that God is doing and what He has for your life and future. Your life is not about Hiles Anderson College. It's not about a degree. It's not about getting your husband or wife here, which I hope many of you will do, and you'll find someone with a similar background and someone that God would lead you to while you're here in college. I like that. I love that. I'm a product of that. God let me come here, and I didn't come here to get Linda, but I'm so glad that God brought Linda to me while I was here, and we heard the same chapel messages. We worked on the bus route. We knew what it was to be busy on Saturdays and busy on Sundays. We knew what it was to work with bus children, and I was working with some on the south side. She was working with some up in Humbert Park, and we were working, and we'd meet on a Sunday night and be able to talk about what happened and how the soul winning go yesterday, and we got a visitor today, and we had one of our kids get baptized, and we think about one getting to go to City Baptist soon, and we would talk about the ministry. And when we left here, we were very used to being busy together and had a heart for God together that we found right here in this location. And I'm so grateful that God brought that to me, but that's not why I came to college. It's not about a spouse. It's not about a degree. It's not about an institution. It's about God's purpose for your life. God has something for you. And I need you to understand that. You need to understand that. Because if you don't think that God has something special for you, you're going to live an awful low existence. If you think you're worthless and you're just putting your time in, you're going to be an idiot in your functions and in the things you're doing. You're going to think it's not important. I think Joshua and Caleb, they had already been there, seen that. They knew it was a big deal. That's why when it came time to get his property, Caleb said, look, I'm 85 years old, but I feel as strong as I was when I was 40. I saw it the first time. Give me my mountain. He was something inside of him that understood, this is what God's plan for me was. I've been waiting a long time, but when that happens, I'm ready to go. And young people, some of you need to realize all that God did to bring you to this location right now. Everything that happened. Now, these guys, these sons of Joseph, now they were raised, Manasseh and Ephraim were raised in Egypt. They were raised there. And, of course, they had already, the real Manasseh and the real Ephraim had already passed on. No doubt they were not living, but they were descendants. And you know, a lot of us, we're like that. I don't know what it's like to have my mom drunk. My dad yelling and screaming and all the things that go on, the nasty word. I don't know about that. My dad did, though. My dad knew about that. Some of you never seen your mom and dad argue, fight. Others of you have. Some of us, we didn't come out of Egypt. That was our parents who came out of Egypt, or our grandparents who came out of Egypt. We don't get it. We don't understand all that. Some of us are so stupid, we're trying to go back and drink in the sewers of Egypt what our parents got out of. You're trying to fall in love with music your parents tried to break away from years ago. You're entertaining social drinking. Your parents have. I remember my dad just would bang away. Son, don't ever drink alcohol. Don't drink beer. Don't drink whiskey. Don't drink a wine cooler. Don't even ever go to your mouth. Because he knew the destruction it was. Boy, some of you're playing around with stupidity. You're beautiful young people, you're beautiful girls, you're handsome young men, but some of you are goofing around with things that you shouldn't be goofing around with. You need to realize why God put you on the planet. You know, there's enough unsaved people in the world, and I don't care. Whatever God wants you to do, that's what I want you to do. I don't think everybody in here should go into full-time Christian service. But I'm just telling you this, there's enough unsaved people out in this world that can doctor us when we're sick, that can build houses.
Right. Amen.
There's enough unsaved people out there that can be veterinarians.
Amen.
There's enough unsaved people out there that can hold a Starbucks cup and an iPhone and manage some kind of IT thing. But there's very few people that can know how to walk into a community and share the gospel of Christ
Amen.
With people. There's very few people out there. And they're not sitting at Purdue Northwest or at the University of Florida. They're sitting right here in this room. You guys are being trained to take the gospel and do something with it and help somebody with the Word of God. And if you can get your act together and you can fall deeply in love with God and quit thinking about all this other goofy foolishness and get your head out of Facebook and Instagrams and all the things that social media feeds your mind, If you could get serious about what God wants you to do, you could make an impact eternally Amen. For thousands and maybe millions of people.
Amen.
You need to realize, get your bell rung on that. God's given you gifts, and they're not to spend trying to get a white picket fence and just have a happy little life.
Amen.
It's to make an impact for eternity.
Amen.
Young people oftentimes forget that. They had that fire at one time, then they kind of forgot about that. I find this young couples do that sometimes. They get married, and all of a sudden they just become, we just want to take care of each other. We just got to get this. It's just too much hard. It's just going to be easy. And oh, look, there's something God wants you to do.
Right. Amen.
There are still souls that can be saved.
Amen.
I was thinking about two precious people in our church this week. They found an assisted living home, and they went to the assisted living home and said, you know what? We would love to minister to them. Can we do a religious reading? And they said, Mr. So-and-so, religious reader. They gave him an hour one time a week. This week he had four people at his meeting. And he said, you know, can I just share with you the religious reading today? It's called the Romans Road.
Amen.
And they began going through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the end he said, how about you? Would you like to? He goes, oh, I've been waiting for this my whole life. I need to be saved. Well, how about you? He goes, I'm good. I'm fine. How about you? He goes, you know, I already did that when I was 35 years old. How about you? I need to get saved. And two of the people got saved at a religious reading.
Amen.
You know why that happens? Because someone goes.
Right.
You know how people get saved on the bus route? When you're out there.
Amen.
You know how people get one to Christ when we go where we're supposed to be?
Right.
Number one, I want you to realize and be conscious of all God has for you. God wanted his people to get to the promised land and enjoy victory, Amen. Conquest, and conquering. So many people are just satisfied to live low lives. He said, no, I want you to be conscious of it. Number two, you cannot compromise with questionable inhabitants in your life. The Canaanites, the demon-possessed people in that region. They had been there. They had strongholds. They had known those mountains before they ever came there. They had dug those wells. They had planted those vineyards. They were wicked people. And God didn't want them in his land.
Right.
But some of the Israelites did not completely drive them out. God tells them, I want you to drive them out. Get them all out.
Good.
If you're going to run clean, you got to run lean. You got to get rid of these people. Don't tolerate their presence. And I think if you and I are going to do what God wants us to do and accomplish the purpose God has for us, you've got to. And by the way, don't wait till next semester. Don't wait till you're in the ministry. It will be way too late by that time. You need to decide right now, what are some Canaanites in my life? What are some things that I've, inhabitants in my life, they got in there, they got a stronghold. It's a song. It's a music genre. It's a video obsession with video games. It is pornography. It's fantasizing about things you shouldn't be thinking about. I don't know what it is. But some of us, we've got some Canaanites hanging around our territory. And they're inhabiting parts of our life. They're not the main thing. You don't think about them 24/7. You still get challenged on a night bus, or you get challenged and you hear Brother John Francis preach, or tomorrow when we hear our speaker tomorrow, and then on Friday when Brother Andy Gomez, you can still get challenged, and God can move your heart at the chapel service, and you can still sing Victory in Jesus and get a little bit of fuzzy wuzzies about it. But you know, in the privacy of your own heart and your private world, you got some Canaanites hanging around, and they need to be eradicated.
Amen.
You need to go for the juggler. You can't let them just have little pet sins around.
Right.
It's not going to be okay.
Amen.
They did not drive them out. What is it in your life that you need to go for the juggler for?
Amen.
As you face 2022 and a new semester, we couldn't be more happier than here. But let me tell you something. Satan is a master terrorist.
Right.
He wants to put bombs on side of you, and he'll wait. He'll let you graduate. He'll let you hold a degree in your hand. He'll let you pass that semester. He'll let you meet that girl and meet that guy. And just keep that bitterness towards your mom and dad. Let it be just a little pet sin. It's a stronghold. Let me tell you how you know a stronghold is when you try to get rid of it and it pulls back strong. When you say, okay, I'm not listening to that song again, and all of a sudden it comes up on Pandora again. It comes up where you can punch it again on your YouTube channel. You're like, I said I wasn't going to do that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have that attitude. And then, boy, it sneaks back in there. Young people, some of you need to decide if God's going to use you. You better go for the juggler and quit Amen. Messing around. Quit asking what's wrong with something. Say, what's right with it?
Amen. Good.
What is right with it? If it's not right, I need to get rid of it. If God's against Amen. It, well, I'm against it, and it's going to go.
Amen.
Quit making excuses. Well, that isn't wrong. That's a good movie. I mean, it only has a few cuss words. They only pull their clothes off like two times. There's only two of those bad scenes in there. You know, but it's good. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one. Listen, don't let that Canaanite hang around your life.
Good.
There is some Canaanites we need to eradicate. And I don't know your Canaanite, and you don't know mine, but I'm telling you, at 54 years old, I'm still trying to eradicate some things.
Amen.
I'm trying to move some things. And I want to encourage you, you can run so much more with a clean conscience whenever sin is not prevalent.
Right.
You can play with sin, but here's what happens. Sin starts playing with you.
Right. Amen.
And it creates much more complication than you and I can ever handle. And these people had that problem. Number one, be conscious of the victory that God wants for your life long term. Number two, you're going to have to confront and eradicate some of the Canaanites. Do not compromise with sin. Don't make agreement. Oh, well, you know, it's not so bad. I am getting some good from that. They started taxing them rather than getting rid of them. And boy, I'll just say this. You can reason a lot of stupid stuff inside your head. You can almost say something is wrong. It's okay. If you start reasoning, don't reason. Don't compromise with sin. Don't compromise with demon-possessed Canaanites. Get rid of them. Then I would just say this in closing. Don't be a complainer and make excuses. Oh, we are strong people and we just need more property. If we just had this, we could do better. No. Quit being a whiny baby.
Right.
Quit complaining about what you have or what you don't have. Quit focusing on a few negative things that have happened to you and at the expense. Grow a little more grass and try to kill all the weeds you see. Once you decide, you know what, I am not going to continue to complain. I don't care if the snow is driving sideways or if it's a beautiful day. God gave it to us. We can figure this out. Wherever you are, learn to be content. Man, it's sickening. The Joseph boys, we're strong people. We just want more. You're not giving us enough. We only got one. And you just almost want to throw up. Shut up. Quit complaining how bad you got it. Don't, you know, people good at making excuses are usually not good at anything else. Well, I went past that class, but these tests are just so hard. They're just hard. You know, that's why you study. What do you want to do? Pat you on the head and just give you a passing grade? No. It's why we're here. College is not a walk in the park. It's challenging. Quit complaining. Have an attitude. The spirit of man sustains his infirmities. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. One of the things that college does, it gives you problems while you have support to handle the problems. So that you get into the ministry and you got more problems, but you have less support. And you figure out, you know what? Well, that lion and that tiger, I remember getting that lion and that bear, we beat that in college. I think I got a Goliath now. Lord, help me. And you can do it. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't make excuses. Don't be a whiny baby. But then the last thing, you'll have to commit to courage and diligence. He said to them, Joshua said to Manasseh, look, guys, you got a whole hill there. Now, it does have wood on it. Figure it out. It's a forest. Okay. It's not made for your flocks yet. It's not. But you can cut them all down. You can make it a pasture if you want to. You're going to have courage. But these guys have iron chariots. Oh, okay. You're going to have some courage and some commitment to diligence. And as you face 2022, let me encourage you, be committed to courage to face your problems and your difficulties and your challenges. Some of you are taking English 101 for the third time. You can do it. Quit complaining. and say, you know what? This is my year. I'm going to do this. It's going to take some courage. It's going to take some commitment to diligence, but I'm getting through English. Do it. Whatever it is, whatever the obstacle is, stop complaining. Stop making excuses. Realize God has something big for you. Get rid of and eradicate any inhabitants that should not be in your life personally. And then decide, you know, I'm going to put the courage and the commitment to work. He said, if you go to work and you'll clean off the forest, you can have whatever you want. It's plenty big enough for you. And God's got a forest. He's got a place for you. Don't miss it because of stupidity, laziness, and cowardness. Have some courage and some commitment. I'm going to work as hard as I've ever worked in any semester. And God blesses hard work. I want to encourage you to be like Joshua challenged him to do. Remember how wonderful God has a plan for your life. He's got something for you to do. It's very special. If you got some Canaanites, you got some strongholds, decide, you know, I'm not going to pat them on the head. I'm not going to compromise with them. I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to eradicate them. It's not going to be my future. If I got problems with pornography, I'm not going to be dealing with that when I'm 22 years old. I'm going to eradicate that. If I got some bad texting or things of that nature I'm doing, that's not going to be me. That's going to be eradicated. That demon-possessed temptation is going not to be who I am. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not going to pat it on the head. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to rationalize it. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to face it without complaining, without making excuses, and I'm going to ask God to help me to have the courage and the commitment to put the diligence in to claim whatever God has for me. The harder you work, the luckier you'll get. You're going to be used of God. I want God to bless you. But He won't bless you. And some of you, you don't have any business being in ministry because you're not willing to do this. You let Canaanites fool around with you, and you're content with them. You just want to keep them there. That grieves me. There's a lot of people that could be helped that were not going to be helped. They're going to be hurt and destroyed because of foolishness. Some of you are lazy. You don't want to put the work in. You want to goof around when it's time to work. You want to play when other people are working. You want to sleep when other people are awake. And you're going to beg and harvest and you'll have nothing. Because you're not committed to work and you're not committed to courage that it takes to tackle things. Let's let God help us. Let's stand together, can we please? I want you to dedicate this year to the Lord. Dedicate this semester to the Lord. Let's come and ask the Lord to help us. The flesh is weak. Teachers, faculty members, would you commit yourself anew and afresh to work diligently? If there's sin that's hanging around inside of your heart, staff member, would you confess it, forsake it? We can't produce what we want, we produce what we are. God loves you, young person. Millions and millions of people could come to know Christ, be made aware of His wonderful gift of salvation. You and I would understand and be conscious of God's plan. We would not compromise with Canaanites. We'd eradicate them and not just be satisfied with having them around. We would not complain and gripe, make excuses, but we would, with confidence in God, courage, ask the Lord to help us.